This is Robert Merlacci, Chief Digital Curator of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's Learning and Technology Magazine. Our December Cross Canada Spotlight is focused on beautiful British Columbia and schools of the future. I'm fortunate to have joined me this evening for a Mindshare Learning Moment, Chris Kennedy, Superintendent of Schools and CEO at West Vancouver Schools and a member of the board of the C21 CEO Academy. One of the most progressive voices in BC education, Chris has been featured by Maclean's magazine as one of the 100 young Canadians to watch, and his work has been featured in various local and national publications. He was recently named one of the top 10 Canadian newsmakers in education technology. Kennedy is a writer and presenter on personalized learning and infusing technology in the classroom. Chris balances his professional passions with life as the father of four school-aged children. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join me this evening, Chris.
Oh, thanks, Robert. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. As you alluded to in your excellent blog recently, what comes first? There are key system drivers identified in C21 Canada's Shifting Minds 3.0 that need to be addressed when it comes to change leadership. One of those drivers is curriculum, and I understand you have new curriculum in BC, which presents some challenges and opportunities.
Yeah, Robert, I'd actually say a lot of excitement about what's happening with new curriculum in BC. We're in a pilot year with K-9 curriculum, and with it full implementation for next fall, and then we're just going to move into 10-12 curriculum, piloting next year, and then full implementation the year after. A dramatic shift in a short period of time, really. You used to do curriculum maybe, you know, one area at a time, one grade level at a time, and really it's gone system-wide in just, you know, in a short period of time. But overall, a lot of excitement about just the direction that it's taken. It's largely seen as being really freeing to teachers and administrators and to our schools.
Very cool. Our focus for this report is on learning environments and schools of the future, which is another key driver. I believe you're about 5 years into your tenure, and how's the shift happening in your existing schools and new schools? You've been a real pioneer in many respects.
Yeah, and you know, all these pieces fit together. And so, you know, we're lucky in the province who's come up with new curriculum, big ideas, a lot more inquiry-based learning. And so we've really embrace that with trying to figure out what are those learning environments that match the kind of curriculum, the kind of pedagogy that we're looking for as we move forward. You know, we're in a community that's not growing in terms of new schools. We don't have a lot of seismic upgrading in BC. We don't have those kind of issues at play. And so we've had to look at existing facilities and how do we redesign, rethink them moving forward. You know, often for, you know, small amounts of money, entry points, There are ways that you can make learning spaces more flexible, make them more inviting, make them more prone to these ideas that we keep talking about. We talk about inquiry. In our community, we talk a lot about self-regulation, and we talk about kids with digital access. And so what do learning environments look like when all three of those things come into play together?
What is your philosophy around new school design? Do you have flexibility around that? Is there... You know, I see a lot of districts, it's just a box. My wife's was in city planning. They had one design, and it was cookie cutter. And it was schools of the 21st century that I would see.
I would say that we've moved past that school as a box design. You know, I think we were definitely in that phase, even in British Columbia, that, you know, you had what the design worked well once, let's make 10 more of them the same. But I think there's been so much pressure from local school boards and from, you know, parents and those that work inside schools. They really want to design schools that are reflective of communities that in which they exist. And so, you know, whether that's in certain communities bringing nature into those schools in a different way, some communities perhaps greater engagement with what technology looks like. I'm seeing some really interesting designs in local communities. Let's say we don't have new school design here. But, you know, when I look at a couple of the new schools in Vancouver, in Surrey, in Coquitlam, very interesting work. I would say anything but cookie cutter. You know, we've moved beyond the sort of the big box mentality. You know, still not probably the resources that they'd like to have in terms of when
right.
they build, but that's typical. I think that we get that the space really matters when it comes to schools.
And so if I walk through one of those schools, would it be, is it more open concept, more natural light, learning commons? What are the unique things that you might see in some of those schools?
Yeah, I think all of those pieces that you mentioned are things that you're going to see in new schools. And so that notion of learning commons sort of as a central gathering place in schools, that's really captured the imagination in BC, whether that's new schools or existing schools. So I think all schools have really taken to that. I think you'll see a lot more schools with larger and smaller spaces. It seems as new schools get built, a lot more emphasis on can we create little spaces for three or four kids to meet to do a offshoot of a classroom of a library, but we're trying to find some smaller spaces. And then I think a lot of natural light, engage in interconnectedness with the environment. There's a quite a movement around outdoor learning in BC, and so you often see outdoor learning centers as part of what 21st century learning looks like in our schools. And so I guess it almost what you when you think of BC and what schools should the kind of community, it's outdoor learning, it's open spaces, it's those kind of concepts are
Right.
really prevalent in all the schools that I see.
It's fascinating. We don't have these conversations very often around school design and engaging stakeholders. And are the architects tuning into the emerging, the whole concept around the 21st century school model?
Yeah, I think so. I think strategically, a number of architects have engaged, former superintendents, former directors, and others as part of their teams. Who and so they understand that it's different than it used to be, and it's been different even in the last 5 to 10 years, a real shift. And so I've been really impressed with what I've seen from those who want to build schools are coming in with a far better understanding than even a few years ago about the kinds of things that we're looking for when they approach us.
Fantastic. Now, is the province supportive when it comes to innovation around school design and budgeting?
I think in BC, like elsewhere, there's a lot of pressure on capital dollars. Nowhere, I don't think, I think all communities are screaming for more money. We have this such a huge seismic issue in BC that so many schools that need to be upgraded around earthquake preparedness,
Right.
especially in the Lower Mainland, that's such a driver. And so that's really driving where new construction dollars are. The vast majority of projects are being driven by the need to make schools earthquake safe. And then, but as they go through that process of upgrading the schools to make them earthquake safe, then they're opening up those conversations about what the learning spaces should look like.
Right.
The challenge is for people like me in districts which have all of our schools really are up to code around earthquake is how can we on the budget on a budget without getting any extra government dollars take some of these concepts and bring them into all of our schools as well.
Fantastic. Now, how do you engage your teachers and students and stakeholders in changing learning environments?
The best thing for our teachers is we get out and look. And in almost all of our schools, our teachers have gone out and gone to see what else is out there. Whether they've gone to High Tech High in San Diego, or they've gone to the Calgary Science School, or whether they've gone to three or four different schools in the Lower Mainland and British Columbia, just getting people out to see what's possible. Because I actually think you can do a lot of these without new capital dollars. Like the work around learning commons, we have work in all of our schools right now that's rethinking that library space as a center gathering place, and that's all really that growth has been that our teacher librarians and our other principals and other key teachers have gone out and seen either locally or across North America what's possible in classrooms.
I think there's some exciting examples across Canada that, we try to illuminate. There's pockets of innovation, and you alluded to some in Lower Mainland and in Alberta. And yeah, I hear a lot about High Tech High. Have you been to High Tech High?
I've never been to High Tech High. But I would say probably 30 or 40 of our staff members have. So
So
it's
what
funny.
makes High Tech High so desirable besides being in Silicon Valley?
I think it's I think that they have the whole pedagogy piece down. The
Okay.
project-based learning. I think I think they really have the they started from the this is what we want kids to do, and then the learning space got designed around that. And I think our educators really appreciate that. It's not that they had a space and then tried to figure out what to do in it.
So
they got the right order in terms of let's figure out what we want to do, and then let's figure out what that space looks like afterwards.
So backwards by design, they started with the end in mind.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert.
That's fantastic. What advice do you offer other districts who are struggling with envisioning schools of the future and going down that path? Because not everyone's at the same place.
You know, start small. Like I think libraries are the best entering point for this conversation. You know, that you begin, so what can we do to reshape this space? How do we make it look different? And I've seen it from a few hundred dollars, which a budget's where, you know, you begin to move the stacks, you bring in some comfortable chairs, you rearrange the furniture a little bit, and then you move out from there. I think because, you know, that's a center place in a school. You start from there. And then I think you go out and you look at what others are doing. I look at some of our classrooms that have done work about changing the lighting and bringing in plants and trying to make it more natural feel in classrooms. Not huge expenditures. And so it's not that you have to tear down the walls of a school to make it in, you know, to rethink the space. Are there ways that we can do this on whatever budget we have just to begin to open the conversation about, you know, maybe the spaces should look differently because we want the learning to look different?
That's an excellent point. What about public-private partnerships? Is that something that enters the picture when you're going down this path?
You know, we haven't entered into that. You know, it's not an area that we've pursued in terms of that yet. You know, we've looked for, you know, our parents have definitely been supportive. You know, in terms of parent fundraising around whether that's a digital part. Or whether that's the Learning Commons. And so, you know, our parents have been helpful to supplement whatever government funding we have, but we haven't looked to sort of outside partnerships really around any of this work.
Thank you for that. Are all your efforts showing an impact on student engagement and academic excellence, which is one of your mottos?
You know, absolutely. You know, I think we're trying to absolutely create these spaces that are more conducive to the kind of learning we want. So if we want inquiry-based learning, We want kids to have spaces where they have sort of digital access when they need it, and you want them in that zone for learning. You've got to design spaces that are conducive to that. It matters, and like I've been struck just by how calming some of the shifts have been in, like, some of our elementary classrooms. You walk into really small changes, whether those are in the furniture or in the way they've set up the room. They've made a dramatic difference in terms of student engagement and kids being in, you know, ready to learn in the classroom.
That's fantastic. Well, your passion is infectious, and it sounds like an exciting place to be. And I do need to visit you next time I'm in BC.
Absolutely, we'd love to come through our schools and just and help make us better.
Thank you so much again. That was Chris Kennedy, Superintendent and CEO of Schools West Vancouver. You can join in the conversation on Chris's blog at Culture of Yes and follow Chris on Twitter at CHR Kennedy. And my name is Robert Martellacci, the Mindshare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.